Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
Everybody, welcome to Bois, King of the Hill podcast. I am Mike.
And I'm Rusty.
Rusty, season... Okay, I am really messed up by these numbers here. Season 5, episode 16, I think, is what we're going with, but it looks like it was season 5, episode 9 to begin with.
Episode 16? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Exterminator, Dale
No,
Heavy.
14.
Oh, it is 14?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure right. We're not 16, are we? Yeah. It's because all the numbers are screwed up. So it's
that's what I'm saying.
The production order would be. Let's see. The production order is 5ABE09, but this is episode 14.
This is 14.
14.
You sure?
Yeah, because 16 is Hank's choice.
Okay,
and then. So it's kind of fucked up again.
13
so,
was Hoya?
Yeah, 13 was Hoya. Okay. 14 is the Exterminator. But it's funny because the production orders are all kinds of screwed up too. So the production order is for the next episode, which is 15, the production order is 5ABE16. And then for episode 16, it's 5ABE11. So it's like their production order is all over the place. But, I mean, that shit happens in shows. So.
Sure. I'm just saying if there's anything that's a little off, that would be why, as far as continuity or whatever.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there is. I'm sure there are, probably continuity. Because there was continuity issues at the beginning of the season with, like, Hank's truck.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, we've been around a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, it happens.
All right. So, no bell, no yell.
No bell, no yell.
The last one, just in the middle of the season for some reason, had a bell and a yell. This is The Exterminator. Like I said, a very Dale-heavy episode.
Yep.
We start off with Dale driving the Bugabago. And he is speaking into like a handheld tape recorder. Exterminator's log, 10:05 a.m. Rat infestation at the Nickman residence. He pulls up at the Nickman residence, which we've never seen this guy.
Never.
Inside, he's talking to Nickman. They are in his kitchen. And he says, this is where you saw him last, Nickman? He goes, yes, sir. He was underneath that cabinet. And then Dale, like, lights up a cigarette.
Yep.
He says, you see, unlike the human, the rat drags his testes as he walks. This creates a urine trail. Turns on a black light. He's got, like, it almost looked like a wand that you wand people down at the airport with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's a black light. So I'm instantly thinking, like, NCIS type stuff, right? And so he turns it on, and then he starts looking around, and he sees
the piss.
Yeah, he sees the little piss trail. He goes...
Shout out to Piss Gang.
Male testes confirmed. And then he literally takes out a gun and screws it together like he's going to just start shooting these things. Nickman says, shouldn't you be wearing a mask? Mask. That's it.
Smash.
He goes, mask. He turns back on the The black light watches the, it goes and follows the trail. It goes into a vent, like a air conditioning vent or a return vent in the bedroom. And you see Dale starts, he just crawls right into the vent. So he goes into the freaking the vent system. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's crawling around, and he comes up on the rat, and he says, "You peed your last old man's kitchen." And then he squirts.
What is it? What is it in piss that makes it glow in a black light, though?
I don't know. I'm assuming it
is bioluminescent.
Yeah, no, yeah. I would think yeah. so. But he says, "You peed in your last old man's kitchen," and squirts the rat with the poison. It's just a big green cloud, but he does it right in his own face. Passes out in the vent.
I'll tell you why. All right, so I looked it up. It's phosphorus.
Yeah.
So when you,
oh, yeah, that
so
makes
when
sense.
You piss, it's got phosphorus yeah. in it. So that's what makes it glow in a black light.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's called chemiluminescence, like chemical luminescence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes total sense. Later.
So is there phosphorus in like sperm too? Then
oh, I would
imagine. Whenever they go through like hotels, how they run the wand through the hotel.
Yeah, yeah. You see it all over the ceiling.
Yeah.
Later they're in the hospital. Dale is starting to come around. He's real blurry, but he kind of sees Hank and he goes, "Nickman?" Hank says, "Oh, it's Hank. They called me because apparently I'm your emergency contact." Dale says, "I wanted someone who had nothing to gain from my demise." It's a great way to pick your contact, I guess. Doctor comes in and goes, "Oh, good. I'm glad you're awake. Mr. Gribble, you have eroded your sinuses and coated your lungs with a substance I can't quite identify." Dale says, "I would like that substance back. It belongs to me." Hank says, "Look, Dale, doctor thinks you should quit exterminating. Your body can't handle any more poisons." He goes, "Can too." Doctor says, "If you don't quit, you won't live to 50. Of course, I'm rounding that number up. And then he just like, I'm rounding up.
Yeah.
All right, so Dale starts to kind of get out of bed. He's still in a hospital gown. He starts pulling the tubes out of his nose and all that stuff. "Well, that was a waste of time. Don't tell Nancy what he said. She'd want to listen to this clown." Hank says, "I already called her. She had to stop at home to get your real IDs." He says, "That was a bad move, Hank." Then in comes Peggy, and Dale, of course, she's here too. That's it.
That's it, yeah.
"Hank, you're hereby relieved of your duties as my emergency person. Peggy, you're in." She says, "You will not regret it." She's waiting for an opportunity to overtake Hank as the emergency contact.
Yeah, I already regret it.
No shit. Now we're at Dale's house. Nancy is at the kitchen table. She's reading. In comes Dale. "Nancy, did you borrow my rat urine detector?" She says, "I donated it to charity. You're too sick to exterminate,
what?
Shug.
A rat
to charity
urine detector? That's what he calls it. Imagine if that's the branded name for black lights. Instead of calling them black lights, we called them urine detectors.
Well, they're RUDs, RUDs. Rat urine detectors.
Yeah, rat urine detectors.
Right. They're RUDs.
Yeah, I'm in a RUD right now.
You know, it's great when you walk into your local Goodwill and you find a nice used RUD.
Yeah, nice used RUD.
For like 50 cents. She says, "You're too sick to exterminate, Shug." He goes, "I'll tell you what I told the doctor. I'm not quitting, you incompetent quack." He just called his wife a quack.
Yeah,
"I love exterminating." She says, "More than you love me?" He goes, "No." Pretty close, though. She says, "Dale, you have a family who needs you." He says, "And I need to work to support them." She goes, "I support us." He goes, "But I contribute." She says, "You pay the cable bill. Come on, Shug. If not for me, then for Joseph. What about your dream to see your son take his son to Roswell?" He says,
"That's terrible.
That rang true. Well, if you need me, I'll be 8 feet under in my metaphorical grave." He walks off and just says, "The basement." That pretty much is his metaphorical grave, I would imagine.
No, like, for sure.
Because it's his bunker.
That is his bunker, yeah.
I mean, if he was going to die of anything, it would be down there. He's looking at a plaque. He's downstairs in the basement. He's looking at the Employee of the Month plaque for Dale's dead bug, and it's his name on every month of every year.
Yeah.
He goes, "Damn, I was good." It pans out, and we see he's still in his hospital gown for some reason. They let him just wear that out the door. The door opens, and Joseph comes down to the basement. He goes, "Dad, I just came down to borrow some roaches for my science project."
Which, that's my favorite part about being in the hospital, honestly.
The gown?
Is the gown. Is the gown and the fact that you're just laying in a bed and you don't have to move and people are bringing things to you.
Well, they've started with those paper shorts. You seen the paper shorts?
No, I've never experienced the paper shorts. I don't make it a habit of being in the hospital, but when I am there, and I have had some I've had some breaks and stuff they've had to fix, and
in your gown?
No, arms. Oh, in your arms and okay. legs and all whatnot. Right. And I don't know. I do appreciate the open back robe thing they give you.
I would imagine that those one piece pajamas with the flap on the ass.
Yeah.
I would imagine those are pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, when you got to go, you got to go, but I'm assuming you have to sit down every time.
Yeah, but whenever I think about hospitals, I think about Lieutenant Dan shoving the ice cream into the bedpan.
Lieutenant Dan. All right. So he's downstairs. He's looking at this. Joseph comes down, says, "Dad, I need to borrow some roaches for my science project." He goes, "Roaches have been on this earth for 500 million years. You've been here, what, 13? You're in over your head." He unveils an aquarium that's got roaches in it. And he goes, "What species are these?" Joseph, without a hitch, says, "Madagascar hissing cockroaches." Like he's not going to know.
Yeah.
You know?
They're big. Have you ever seen them in, like, those big Madagascar roaches?
Those but not only that, they're in his dad's basement, and they're the only ones he has down there.
Those
so, yeah,
disgusting.
He's probably going to know who those are. He says, "Well done. All right, here's what we'll do for your science project. We will breed servant roaches. As long as we ensure that I'm the first thing the roaches see when they're born, they will think I'm their mother, and they will therefore obey my every command." My every command. Joseph says, "Think we can train them to crawl through a maze?" He says, "We'll train them to do worse than that, Joseph." You know, Dale says a lot of stuff like that.
Dale says a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff.
But I don't know what the hell he's what is he thinking he's going to train these cockroaches to
do? That dude runs his mouth more than anybody.
We see Nancy come in the back door.
Can they train them, though? Is that real?
I guess. I don't know, man. You see Nancy coming in the back door of the kitchen. She's still got her news center gear on, her weather person gear. She's got her arm full of groceries.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and talk about it real quick.
Go for it.
So apparently some biologists at Vanderbilt University, they have what they call olfactory memories, which is scent and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So they're able to hold memories based on like smell. So,
that makes sense.
They said it's the first example of an insect whose ability to learn is controlled by its biological clock.
Huh.
So they're able to smell better at night.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that's why they like the creepy crawl at nighttime, is because that's the one they could smell best.
Well, yeah.
So that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts.
So they gave it
to
like
train roaches.
They gave it two odors, a vanilla and a peppermint, to see which they preferred, which they unconditioned, they preferred the vanilla. And they were able to smell it better at night based on whatever metrics they were measuring it all by.
You give peppermint to like a dog or a cat or something, they recoil. Like they don't want anything to do with that. Nancy comes in with the groceries. She's got her hands full. She looks around and goes, "Oh my Lord." And she looks around. There's just dirty dishes everywhere. The kitchen is gross. Dale and Joseph are over there looking at roaches in a little terrarium kind of thing. She goes, "Did it occur to either of you to set the table for dinner?" Dale says, "I guess we were distracted by our afternoon of monitoring roach excretia." She says, "That's how you spend your day?" She looks in the fridge. She goes, "Who ate all the chopped meat? That was for dinner." Joseph says, "The roaches." Dale says, "Excretia doesn't just come from nowhere." Okay. What a house. Now we see Dale in a lawn chair.
I got an arty fact real fast
over
the knockout. I forgot to hit it while you were there.
No, you're good, man.
So there was a award plaque for Dale's Dead Bug Blue employee, except for 96. It was won by Rusty Shackelford.
Okay.
And then there was another fact I forgot. Yeah, it was Madagascar hissing roaches, the hissing cockroach, a.k.a. the big hisser, is one of the largest species of cockroach.
The big hisser.
It's... I was going to say 5 to 7.5 centimeters, but I forgot we're in America. 2 to 4 inches. They're native, 3 or 4 of half of your thumbs.
Oh, you know, sure.
Those American metrics.
Yeah. Oh, they're big.
You always got to have some weird metric. They are native to Madagascar. That's why they're known as the Madagascar roach, which for those of you who are ignorant and have never understood the geography of the world, they're on an island off of the southeastern coast of Africa. And they're commonly found in rotting logs. That's what they like to eat, is rotted wood.
Sure.
And there's 20 known species. And
of Madagascar hissing cockroaches?
And many of these 20 known species are kept as pets because they're you know, they're size of a small mouse. Like, if you keep a mouse or something like that, you know,
no
why
thanks.
Not keep a gigantic
Don't
roach?
Want either. Don't want either.
Yeah.
Dale is in the alleyway by himself. He's sitting in a lawn chair, still in his gown.
Yeah,
still in his gown. Up comes the other three. Hank's holding the cooler. Bill and Boomhauer's with him. And Bill's speaking. He said, "Guess who I saw at the Megalomart? Richie Sambora."
What is who?
Do you hear Richie Sambora?
Well, I don't know who he was, but we got it right here. Artie's Artifact.
Bon Jovi guitarist.
Bon Jovi,
right?
Yeah. But he was also married to
Heather Locklear. Yeah.
From 94 to 2007. So during this episode,
he'll be right here.
He was married to her, yeah.
Hank says, "No, you didn't." He goes, "You weren't there." Hank says, "You know, Dale, we're all out here to unwind from the workday, but the past few days you've sort of just been loitering." He says, "I have more pressure than any of you. You ever tried replacing a cockroach's blood with root beer?" Hank says, "Well, you know I haven't." He goes, "Then don't judge me." He gets a beer. When he bends over, his ass is hanging out of his thing. And everybody's just like, "Oh, dear God, it's Dale's ass." Now we're in Dale's kitchen. It's just Hank and Nancy. Hank's sitting there with a cup of coffee. Nancy's getting some stuff around. She's talking to Hank. She goes, "All Dale does is eat, play with bugs, and make prank phone calls. Do you know he called my office 3 times today trying to get me to change my long-distance service?" Hank says, "That was him?" She says, "I'm tired of getting while you were out messages from the receptionist. Your husband called, still waiting for sex." That's a hell of a message. All right, so we're back in the basement. Dale is talking to the cockroaches. "Now, come May, I expect a Mother's Day gift from you roaches. Word to the wise, something you make yourselves means even more." Hank comes down the stairs. He goes, "Hey, Dale, how are things with Nancy? You know, you used to brag about stuff." He goes, "I didn't mean to brag. It's just that we were having spectacular sex." Hank says, Yeah, but not so much lately, huh?
It's like those guys with big trucks with tailpipes. I don't mean to brag, but
look at my truck nuts. He says, maybe it's...
Actually, truck nuts, I think, are kind of classy. I like truck nuts. That's the one thing I like is truck nuts, like as an accessory, because you can put them on any vehicle. You know what I mean? They're not necessarily for trucks.
No, they're only for trucks. It's right there in the
name. Could be Subaru nuts.
Subaru nuts. He says, but not so much lately, huh? He goes, "Well, maybe it's something I ate." "No, Dale, it's the fact that you're an exterminator in a hospital gown. I'm sure that's part of it." He goes, "What's the opposite of oysters? Apples?" He's worried that he ate too many apples.
I actually have, he gave me some anti-aphrodisiacs, natural anti-aphrodisiacs in the world.
Poke in the eye.
Cornflakes, granola, quinine.
Quinine?
Yeah.
It's what's in
gin.
It's in tonic.
Yeah, tonic. Yeah. Yeah. Soy, saltpeter, cilantro, mints, graham crackers.
Saltpeter.
Licorice, okra, tuna noodle casserole.
I
think he added that one on there. That's funny. But it's funny that they say cornflakes because Kellogg, the guy who invented cornflakes, like a super hardcore Christian guy with no masturbation and
none of
that stuff. And it was meant to
that he was super religious. He was just
fundamentalist. He was a fundamentalist.
He was like, "You can't do this because it impedes in your relationships and your life."
No, he was definitely a fundamentalist. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie?
Yeah.
Welcome to
He was kind of crazy.
Yeah. He did not invent Tony the Tiger.
No, he didn't invent Tony the Tiger. Oh, it was his brother that invented it?
I believe so. I think his brother went
off. I don't think he was cool enough to invent Tony the Tiger.
I think his brother went off.
He was trying to stop people from masturbating. That dude's a jackass.
I think his brother went off and built all the sugary cereals while he did all the
other stuff. Imagine creating cornflakes to stop people from masturbating. Like, "Here's a bowl of cornflakes. Please don't jack off anymore." does that even work? I don't know.
Stick your genitals in this milk.
Yeah, I don't know that that works.
He goes... "What's the opposite of oysters? Apples?" Hank says, "Look, maybe it has something to do with you being out of work. I mean, would you want to sleep with a bum?" He goes, "No, that's right. See, there's nothing sexier than a man with a 9-to-5 job, which is why I lined up a new job for you. Remember my cousin Rita?" He says, "The one with the underbite?" He goes, "Yeah. Well, she just quit her job at the adhesives company, and she's putting in a good word for you to replace her." He says, "Well, I hope she puts it in writing because you can barely understand it when she talks."
Yeah.
It's rough for
that
Rita.
Is rough.
I don't think we ever meet Rita, do we?
No, I don't think so.
All right, we're at the
Gribble. But we do have a voice in this show.
When we get to Pittman,
which is
Give me one second. Yeah.
We're almost there.
Now we're at the Gribble House. The next day it starts. It's a beautiful day. The lawn sprinkler is going off, and then we go inside. Nancy is seeing Dale off. She goes, "Oh, my man looks so handsome," because Dale's in a suit. He goes, "I know, and I type 30 words per minute. Can we make out?"
Whoa.
That's all it takes. Now, Hank is driving Dale to work. Hank says, "Well, look at you in your suit." "It's Joseph's. You didn't have to drive me to work. I wasn't going to play hooky on my first day." Hank says, "Well, that's not what you told Bobby." He goes, "Your boy's a liar and a blabbermouth."
Yeah.
So they pull right up to Stick Tech and says, Hank says, "Dale, remember, everybody likes a hard worker." He gets out and he goes, "Of course they do. They do all the work for him." And then Hank drives off, and under his breath, Dale's just like, "Ass." I mean, he's just.
Yeah, he's not happy.
No, he's not happy at all. He goes into the lobby. There's people waiting there. Miss Pittman walks up to him. He goes, "Mr. Gribble, you're a minute late." He goes, "No, my watch says 9:01. "Oh, do you start at 9 o'clock?
She yeah.
says, "Well, we're a team at Stick Tech, and a team is only as strong as its weakest player. That's you." She starts walking him back to the cubicle, and he lights up a cigarette right there in the
cubicle, in the business, in the space. Well, I don't know. It's probably appropriate that time, though.
I don't think so.
Well, because I used to work at a candy factory, and I was told up until like the year 2001, 2, or 3, they were just – there was like a smoke room, like you've got the where they're wrapping the candy, and then you've got like it's just like the big open factory space, and then there's like a room where they would sit and smoke.
Right.
So it was like they were watching their machines from this room while they're sitting in there smoking cigarettes and stuff.
I remember I was working at a place that had a big call center. I was not in the call center, but there was never any place to smoke, and so I was smoking like 3 packs a day at that point. But I would always have to go outside to do it.
The last place I remember.
The only reason I did it so I'd get all the breaks.
The last place I remember legally smoking indoors that wasn't a bar was Waffle House in 2008 or 9. I think it was like January 2009 was the last time. And they had limits on their smoking, too, at the time. It was when they had started putting it, like, between the hours of such and such you could smoke.
Yeah.
So in the daytime, you couldn't smoke. But if you came after hours to eat, you could smoke after hours. So we were there at, like, 10, 11 o'clock at night, and I had just finished my meal. And we had looked at the clock, and we were like 5 minutes away from like the smoking hour where you're able to start smoking.
So
we asked the waitress. We were like, "Man, it's 5 minutes. We just finished our meal," and she was like, "All right, y'all go ahead, sweetheart." You know, the whole Waffle House thing covered in tattoos.
Last two times I've been to a Waffle House, I'm sitting there and I'm eating at the counter. There's a wreck outside, like right in front of the place.
Oh, a wreck.
The last two times.
You know why?
Why?
Everybody's just in a rush to get to Waffle House.
Everybody's just drunk.
I love Waffle House. The Waffle House is like one of those places that if it isn't like trashy when you walk in there, you're going to turn around. Like,
oh, sure.
If the guy doesn't have a cigarette behind his ear and his shirt's untucked and they're listening to some loud music in the back, I don't
Waffle
want it.
Waffle House is the way to go. At least
it has to have certain expectations.
At least you can see what they're cooking.
Yeah.
He lights up, and she goes, "We don't smoke here at Stick Tech." He goes, "Oh, I understand. You have to tell that to everybody." He keeps smoking. She takes it out of his mouth and puts it out in a plant.
Which I think Stick Tech is kind of a nod to Initech.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
She says, "We don't allow sunglasses at Stick Tech unless you can prove you're blind." She takes them off of him. "Certainly no caps, except for yarmulkes under 8 inches in diameter." He backs up and he goes, "The cap stays." She goes, "Oh, not at Stick Tech." She takes it off. And then she says, "You're bald." Not in an attractive way like Sean Connery.
Mm.
"Oh, well, rules are rules. Here's your cubicle. This is where you sit and work. Welcome to Stick Tech." I mean, it's just she's so bland. Call centers are like that, though, aren't they?
Well, because all you're doing is just reading a script the whole damn time.
She says, "Welcome to Stick Tech," and then it kind of pans out, and Dale is just depressed. I mean,
he's
in this
there.
Giant sea of cubicles. And that is our first commercial break. We'll take that, and we'll be right back.
Snack Attack is a podcast about the history of your favorite snacks, candies, and treats. Each 5-minute or less episode features the history of a great snack from around the world. We'll also visit what the status of the snack is today and give you a little knowledge to lord over your friend. Snack Attack is available anywhere you get your podcast or at roguemedianetwork.com. Let's get snacking!
Step into the unexpected with Cultastic, or How to Start a Cult Without Really Trying. A podcast where cult creation unfolds in the most unpredictable way. Join us on a unique journey into the world of theoretical cult formation. Unlike any other podcast, each episode of Cultastic is co-written in part using ChatGPT, and we let it decide our fate, good or bad. What makes Cultastic truly intriguing? We don't know what's coming each week. Together with our AI co-author, we'll discover and build this cult, one episode at a time, exploring various aspects of cult dynamics, leadership, and group psychology. Delve into themes of charisma, influence, and the power of group thinking. It's a blend of expert analysis, theoretical exploration, and the unforeseen twists of AI-generated ideas. Remember, Cultastic is an exercise in imagination and education where we weave a narrative one episode and one tenant at a time. Curious about where this journey will take us? Subscribe to Cultastic or How to Start a Cult Without Really Trying on your favorite podcast platform or at roguemedianetwork.com. Let's build this mission to save the people of Earth week by unpredictable week.
All right, and we are back from that commercial break. We're in bed with Nancy.
Not me.
The clock says 6:15, and she's kind of watching Dale get ready. She goes, "Oh, my little working man's up early today." He says, "They made me join a carpool, and it leaves early because of all the stops."
Made you join a carpool. You know the funniest carpool scenes, I think, for me on television ever were the Drew Carey carpool scenes. I think those are the best carpool
scenes. I completely forgot about those until you said something.
That was like a running gag. Yeah. It was like in almost, I think, pretty much every episode they had a little car scene.
You know what I don't like is carpool karaoke.
Carpool karaoke. Not a big fan of that dude at all.
Yeah.
James Corden, I think he's a one-trick pony. I don't think he's that funny.
I just never thought he was funny.
Yeah. I don't think he's meant for an American audience. I don't think his
Well, even Brits don't like
him. That's what I'm saying. I don't think he's meant for a British audience. I don't think he's meant for an audience.
He's a he's like a Broadway guy or a play guy. You know, he's not. Yeah. I don't know. I just never thought he was funny. All right. So he goes, she goes, "Well, maybe they can pick you up last." He goes, "I tried that. Rodriguez is last. Always has been." "Dale, I know you're used to being your own boss, but you got to learn how to work with humans. Humans, they won't even let me eat lunch till 1 o'clock. You know I like 9 small meals throughout the day."
9 small meals throughout the day. Well, see, that's actually probably why he's able to stay skinny, because that's what they say is that you're supposed to
Well, it helps your metabolism.
Yeah, you're supposed to eat small meals.
So you hear the car honk outside. And he goes, "Not ready." Now we're in the carpool. Dale is in one of the back seats, looks very uncomfortable. And we hear the driver saying, "Check this out. Something's going on between Frank and Linda. I heard from that guy in accounts payable, the one with the vintage glasses, that they were at Bennigan sharing mozzarella sticks." What? So
you so said, people can't platonically share mozzarella sticks.
But you said that Stick Tech was a kind of a
joke on Inatech. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think of this as kind of that oh, someone's got a case of the Mondays, you know, that lady.
Yeah, that's exactly
and all that
what
stuff.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what that is. Yeah.
Now, later, we see one more is in the back seat with Dale. He goes, "Enjoy the end of the Today Show, Rodriguez." He goes, "Not as much as the beginning of Regis. Hey, did you guys hear about Frank and Linda?" I mean, it's just all gossip in that car.
That's all it is. And that's what the I think that's what on the Drew Carey show, some of those were kind of gossipy.
Oh yeah.
There was one about one about smoking. Somebody was like smoking in the car and it was off-putting to Drew Carey or something. I don't know.
So
that's a great show though.
It was a great show.
Starting a Drew Carey show podcast. I don't think anybody's done that.
Yeah, I don't think so. Now Dale is in his cubicle. It kind of pans over. We see a picture of Joseph with a gun. We see a picture of Nancy, followed by a picture of a giant bug, which that's the way
the
it should be.
The big bugabago.
You see Dale wearing a hat made out of newspaper for some reason. I guess he was bored. Invoice 134772, amount $3.88. Check number 8429, cleared. Invoice 134773, amount 1747. Check number 3524, cleared. Oh, God. Invoice 134774, amount $6.19. In comes Pittman.
Yep.
Mr. Gribble, what did I tell you? No hats of any kind at Stick Tech. Thank you. One more slip up and you lose your privileges to dress casual on Casual Fridays. Are we clear? Yeah. He says, "Claire, can I go to lunch now?" She goes, "Oh, I moved your lunch to 4:00. I need you to fill in for the receptionist. She's eating lunch." It's just so crappy. He pulls out the bottom drawer of his file cabinet, and you see bags there, his lunch bags, 10:45, 11:30, 12:15, 1, 1:45, 2:30, 3:15, 4, 4:45, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 9. So now we're in the alley with all three guys. No Dale yet. Bill says, "I don't know if I can wait for Dale any longer. I'm getting awful chilly." It's just nuts. And you hear from off screen, "Up yours, Rodriguez." And you see Dale get out of the car. He comes over to the guys. Hank says, "Hey, Dale, what's new in the world of adhesives?" Trying to make the best of a bad situation.
Yeah.
Dale takes the beer and just chugs the whole damn thing. He goes, "Well, we were each issued 2 Stick Tech brand Stick It pads." Hank says, "Well, this is great. We're getting the inside scoop here, fellas." Like, just, I mean, he's trying. You know, he's trying real hard to make Dale a normal person. Dale says, "I should tell you about Special Project F adhesive strips for envelopes that come in all different flavors, mango, peach, lime, cherry, and maybe pina colada."
I got a quick fact.
Yeah.
Adhesives, the history of adhesives. I'm just going to talk about the earliest known uses of. I'm not going to go deep into it. So the earliest known uses of adhesive was tree sap to repair pottery. Mm. And they've got samples of that dating back to like 4000 BC.
Yeah.
And then
that makes sense.
References in literature were as far back as 2000 BC when it was starting to be named an adhesive. You know, there was processes and stuff people were doing that just weren't identified or named, or
they were just doing shit. They were named this.
Yeah, I'm just doing this.
My fingers are sticking together.
And so that was, adhesives.
There you go. That's what you guys tuned in for. Welcome to our TED Talk.
Welcome to our TED Talk.
He says, "Should tell you about mango, peach, lime, cherry, and maybe pina colada." Hank says, "Well, speaking purely as a consumer, I can't wait for that product to hit the stores. How about you, Boomhauer?" Boomhauer is completely checked out. He's like, "Hey,
he's out of there.
What? Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. He's a dang old. What, man. All right, we're at Dale's house at the dinner table. Joseph, Dale, and Nancy. And Joseph says, "You know, Dad, since you're spending so much time at work, we better leave the roach tank in your office. That way you'll be the first thing they see when they hatch. And they'll think," he goes, "up yours, Joseph." God, what a
damn.
What a response up to your own kid.
Son.
"Up yours, Joseph." She goes, "Dale." He goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, son. That's the coffee talking and the fluorescent lighting and the excruciating headaches."
Yeah.
Nancy leans over and goes, "Make some time for the roaches, Shug." He goes, "We'd all love to make time for roaches, but in the real world, people have to spend all night reconciling invoices, or Miss Pittman won't let them wear their chinos and a knit shirt next Friday." And that is, you remember the scene in Office Space with the Casual Friday thing?
No, I don't.
They talk about.
I don't have a lot of referential knowledge of it.
Oh, my God. It's so good. They have a big banner up about Casual Fridays and stuff.
Yeah, I've got to watch that. So I've got to watch that movie again to have
so
a better
good.
Knowledge of it.
Hank and Bobby are coming out next door. They're walking over to the car. They see over the fence, Dale is taking the bug off of his bug-a-bago.
Yeah. Hank, it's just a bago now.
It's just a bago. Hank says, Dale, what are you doing to the bug-a-bago? My turn to drive the carpool, and the underground garage clearance is only 7 feet. He goes, well, why don't you just take off her antennas? Why don't you take off Bobby's head? Jeez.
This guy is...
he's at his wit's end.
This guy's on his last leg. He didn't have very many legs to stand on before. Yes. If he was an arachnid, he would only have 4 legs left.
So we're at the Stick Tech lunchroom. Dale's at his table by himself eating his lunch, and he's drinking out of a carton of milk.
Yeah.
And he's overhearing these two people talk. One of them is Pittman, and another lady's sitting there, and she goes, oh, I can't fire Bert. He and I started a Stick Tech at the same time. Well, I can't fire him. We were married briefly in the 80s. Part of me still loves him.
Yeah, I was having a discussion with a friend recently about milk and the discovery of milk. And did they?
Well, it is weird.
Did they squeeze it out first?
That's what I'm saying.
Or did
right?
they suck the teat first?
I mean,
like, did they raw dog or just a naked cow teat, or did they use their
think
hands?
Think about that,
like,
with anything.
How did
you
it
know,
go down?
My reference is always eggs. Oh, look, a thing just fell out of that bird. Let's go eat it. You know, I mean, that's just
yeah.
How did
they
that
just
come up?
Did they just like stick it in their mouth like a jawbreaker and just crunch down on it first,
yeah,
or did they?
Know.
I know there's things that people use. I don't know specifically what they use, but I've been listening to a culinary arts lecture,
yeah.
And they're talking about like the history of culinary arts from one of the online college
You've
things,
been listening
Coursera
to a
or something.
Culinary arts lecture.
Yeah, it's like okay. Coursera or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
But he's talking about the history of culinary art and like how it became an art form type thing. And there was something I was remember him. I can't remember exactly all the details of it, but they even use egg. They used to use eggshells too.
Yeah.
Where we just throw the eggshell away now.
Oh yeah,
they used
I'm
to grind.
Sure
the eggshell up and do something with
it.
Yeah,
they're good for something.
I wonder if you could make an egg flour out of grinding eggshells up, like an eggshell flour. That sounds crazy.
I have a book at home that I've never read, but it's called Who Ate the First Oyster? And it's that kind of stuff, right? It just tells you about the history of all those things.
Well, yeah, there is actually
an
eggshell flour. You can grind eggshells up and make an eggshell powder.
Well, there you go.
They said that if you drink the eggshell powder, one teaspoon contains 800 to 1,000 milligrams of calcium.
Nope. No thanks.
So
I'm good.
If you're calcium deficient,
go ahead and
save your
chalk.
Eggshells, cook them. You got to cook them in the oven first to kill the bacteria, and then you grind them into a powder, put it in your coffee or whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just keep buying the flour they have at the grocery store, I think. Yeah. Dale, overhearing all this, he goes, wine, wine, wine. When I was an exterminator, I killed living isms. What's the big whoop about firing someone? Pittman says, Mr. Gribble, you don't know Bert Halverstam, do you? He goes, met him once, didn't care for him. She goes, well, since you're about the only one here who has no personal attachment to Bert, maybe you could do me a favor. Fire him, throw in a container of milk, and we have ourselves a deal. That's all it takes for Dale.
That's it.
One
yeah.
more half pint of milk. All right. We see Dale sitting in Pittman's office. You can tell because her name plaque's right there in the front.
Yep.
He's looking at a picture that she has on her desk and goes, good looking kids for two ugly people. I mean, it's just so funny.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny. Well, that's what they say, though, is that two ugly people make you know,
well, it skips a generation,
kids.
Right?
Yeah.
Bert Halverstam comes to the door, and he goes, oh, I was expecting Miss Pittman.
I think it's like a survival thing. I think it's like a ingrained in our DNA
that
if two ugly people are going to procreate, they have to create something.
I've seen plenty of ugly people with ugly babies, though, too.
I mean, don't know. I think babies – This is a tough take for a lot of people out there, but babies for the first few, like till they you know get a little older, like a couple of months older,
yeah,
they all look alien like, you know,
they come
pretty.
Out with their heads all squished and their hair all sticking up and weird and gooey and anyway,
yeah.
All right, so he's looking at that desk. He says, "Good looking kid for two ugly people." Bert comes in. He goes, "I was expecting Miss Pittman." Amy, because, you know, they were married briefly.
Yeah, they were.
He goes,
they
yeah, she asked me to talk to you instead. He goes, aren't you the receptionist? He goes, when Judy eats lunch, but that's not important. What is important is that you've got 30 seconds to tell me why you should keep your job. He goes, it's not going to fly. Sorry, Halverstam, you're fired. I mean, just straight up, just you're fired, buddy. Pittman is, she's literally around the corner listening. And she goes, Bert, I just heard. I'm so sorry. He runs off. Now she's talking to Dale. She goes, "That was very decisive. Listen, there's someone else I need to fire. This person I hate so much I can't even look at him." He goes, "You know the price." He goes busting into this guy's office and he goes, "It's all over, Gladstone." Gladstone says, "Excuse me? Like, what do you do if somebody just busts into your office and says it's all over?"
Yeah, I don't know. That's I'm sure there's some HR issues with firing people that way.
This is all an HR issue.
I don't know if
you can
kick door on somebody like you're in Iraq and just run in there. "Oh, you're all out of here. Get out of here."
Yeah, I don't think that's the way it's done. He goes, "Excuse me?" He goes, "Pack your stuff and get out by the end of the day." And then Pittman again, outside the door listening. He goes, "I can see why you don't like him." He goes, "What about my health insurance, Miss Pittman?" She goes, "Oh, I fought for you, Sal. She goes, "I fought for you, Sal, honestly." He goes, "Anyone else? I'm still thirsty." She looks at him and goes, "Mr. Gribble, how would you like to make this your permanent job?" He goes, "Firing Gladstone? Sure. Gladstone?" She goes, No. "No, look, nobody knows this, but Dallas is downsizing the flavored adhesive division. Pina Colada was killing lab monkeys left and right."
Whoa.
So Dale now has a new job.
Killing lab monkeys.
He comes home. Nancy's there reading a magazine. He says, "What a day, carpool. I had to stop at the store. Rodriguez needed a comb. Oh, yeah, they made me assistant vice president of human resources. My husband is an assistant vice president? Oh, I'm so proud of you." She comes over and, like, leans on him. She's going to lean in to kiss him. He goes, "What you doing?" Unless he initiates it, he doesn't have any idea what's going on.
He doesn't have a clue what's going on. And that's the thing whenever it says assistant behind something, all that means is you're the fall guy when everything comes tumbling down.
Absolutely true.
That's why you never want to be assistant. You know, that was the thing about seeing, like, people be assistant managers and stuff like that at fast food places, and then watching the actual general manager come in for, like, 5 hours a day, walk around, make sure everything looks okay, and then leave.
And the assistant manager's
up to their neck in, like, work. It's delegation.
We're at Stick Tech.
Just remember, shit rolls downhill, and the first person to catch it is the assistant.
There's employees walking and talking. They've got coffee. They're kind of walking and talking to each other around the cubicles. One of them says, "I heard Mitch got 86, too. And the other guy says, "Yeah, at his own damn birthday party. Gribble walked in, blew out the candles, told him to leave the cake and get out." Then we go inside of Dale's office, and you hear him talking with Hank, Nancy, Peggy, and a big old thing of bugs. "All of these plants are real, and they give off oxygen, which I use throughout the day." Hank says, "Oh, by my count, that's 6 outlets. Dale, all of them are grounded." Nancy goes, "Here's a photo of me for your new big fancy desk. We could move it if we ever wanted to, you know." He goes, "Have sex on the desk? Sure. We could even move the roaches." He just moves everything off the desk. Like they're going to do it right there in front of Hank.
Yeah, they might. You never know.
"I just had to find a new place to keep my keys to the executive washroom." He picks them up, starts dangling them. He goes, "Who has to make?" And, of course, Peggy. "Why, I could go, you know."
I bet she could. She probably shits like a horse.
He goes, "You're not an executive. Hold it until we get to the restaurant."
Imagine eating a brown Betty and then have to take a dump after that. That'd ruin your insides.
there's a guy standing outside of Dale's office looking in. "Oh, how could I have forgotten? Lewis, could you come in here for a second?" "Yes, Mr. Gribble." "Lewis, now you've been with Stick Tech for how long?" "Oh, it'll be 14 years next week." "No, it won't. You're fired." Just boom, suck it. Everybody's just like, "Oh, no." And he goes, "Fired? But yeah, listen, I'm hungry. She has to pee. He has to get back to work or he'll end up the same boat as you." He goes, "Well, I've got 4 children." He goes, "I had someone earlier today with 8. Heck, I once killed a beetle with $30 million in her egg sack." Guy just starts crying and runs out. And he goes, "Well, who wants steak?" And then that is our second commercial break. We will take that and go get some steak, and we'll be right back.
Ned Hillsdale, a hard-drinking, foul-mouthed ex-cop, turned private detective in the city of Chicago. He lives dangerously, loves intensely, and drinks harder than anyone. The very things that got him kicked off the force now make him the city's best detective. Set against the low rumble of sad jazz and the hum of underground crime, Ned Hillsdale, Private Detective is available anywhere you get your podcasts and at roguemedianetwork.com.
Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody. I'm Tony, and some call me Big T.
And I'm Carrie, and we have some exciting news. We have a podcast.
Absolutely. It's called My Husband is a Hunka Hunka Burning Love.
No.
And we'll be discussing some different sex positions overweight couples can easily perform, correct?
I don't think so. It's called I Married an Idiot.
I know. I'm just kidding.
We'll try to stay on task, focus. Did you take your Adderall today?
Really? You're going to ask me that? Are you insinuating something?
Never mind. You may be wondering why we're doing this. We have been together for 36 years.
36 short, long
years.
Freaking years. But we must be doing something right, right?
Well, we must be. But this is where the fun starts.
And you know me, I love having fun. Fun is the best thing to have.
Yes, it is. On our show, we're going to be discussing a wide variety of topics. And I'll give you my opinion, and you'll give your opinion. So please, do not embarrass me.
I'm not going to embarrass you. I told you 1,000 times, but you also need to learn to get some thicker skin if you're going to be doing this.
No.
And don't take everything so damn personal.
No, but you get personal.
Anyway, it's up to you, not you, Carrie, but the podcastee listeners.
The audience,
to decide which one of us is the idiot.
It's going to be pretty obvious, trust me.
Absolutely, totally obvious. Was that a shot?
Of course not.
Okay, good, just checking. So, you know, everybody has an opinion. It's like my daddy always said.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Well, it's true. An opinion is like an ass. Everyone has one, and some are bigger than others, or it went something like that.
Stop. Would you be nice? See what I mean? Tell them where we can be found.
Anywhere you get your podcast or roguemedianetwork.com. Just look up I Married an Idiot. Sit back, relax, and give us a try. I promise you it would be entertaining. And if you want to contact us, you can shoot us an email. Well, I don't seem to have the email at the moment. This is not good. I don't seem to have that at the moment, but we'll let you know, so stay tuned, and I promise you we'll let you know.
Sorry. Really?
Well.
But yes, eventually we'd love to hear your feedback. You can give us suggestions on what topic to cover, comment on our show or an episode, or just drop us a line to say hello.
Just remember, any negative feedback should be directed toward Carrie, and all positive feedback should go to me.
Wrong again.
Hey, babe, look, we got to go. Let's wrap this up.
Okay, just remember to tune in. It's going to be fun. And thanks for giving us a try.
Absolutely. Until next time, peace out. God dang.
I thought it went pretty good.
That went well, not.
I thought it went okay.
Why didn't you tell me the email? Do we even have an email?
You said you were getting the email.
I did not. When did I say that?
You're such an idiot.
Oh, the hell with it.
All right, and we are back. We left them going to the steakhouse and Dale not giving a crap about people. Now we're at Dale's house. Dale is doing karate moves and undressing, of course. Sha to you. Like, he's all fired up because he gets to fire these people. You know, he's all fired up because he gets to make people feel like shit. Nancy goes, that guy you fired today, the way he was crying. I said, he goes, sha.
She goes,
he drops his pants. And, of course, he's got sock garters on, which I thought was fantastic. He's got a lovely farmer tan all over his body. Nancy goes, I just can't get that image out of my head. Then let me replace it with this image. And he gets up and starts chicking around, going, just like
dancing.
Gets up on the bed and starts undressing and dancing.
Bounce, go, wow.
She goes, sorry, Shug, I just don't feel like it. He goes, well, maybe this will help. And then he gets up, just doing all those moves.
Does it again, yeah.
All right, next day in the carpool. Dale comes up, and he's talking through the window, and he's talking to Rodriguez. He goes, Rodriguez, if you ever want your kids to see you lose another sack race at the company picnic, I suggest you get your butt in the back seat. Rodriguez is like, excuse me? He goes, thought so, after he moves.
Yeah.
All right, now we're at Stick Tech. He is talking to a janitor, and the only reason you can tell it's a janitor is that Dale is facing the window looking outside while he's talking to this guy, you know, that big power move thing.
Yeah.
And you can see the janitor reflected in the glass behind him, just standing there holding a mop, so you know he's a janitor, I guess. He goes, Carl, as a janitor, what would you do with unlimited free time and no income?
Well, yeah, what would you do? I'd probably be homeless.
Nancy and Joseph come, and they're just standing in the doorway, and she goes, Shug? He goes, busy, Nancy. Joseph, also busy. Joseph says, but Dad, my science project's due tomorrow. I need my roaches. They should have hatched by now. Ah, they're in the bottom drawer of my desk next to Carl's severance check. Now, if you'll excuse us.
They've escaped.
Yeah, he picks up the tank, and there's only one roach in it. He goes, oh, they've escaped. We got to find them. By the way, janitor is still standing there.
Yeah, the janitor is just
he goes, you
awestruck.
You people with your roaches. I'm trying to fire this incompetent fool with compassion. He goes, but Dad. You keep this up, Joseph. You're fired from this family. She goes, Dale. He goes, you're next, Blondie. Carl, I'm off to round up some roaches, any one of which would have made a better janitor than you. And he just walks out. It's
you
so
know,
gross.
I honestly think that he's consumed way too many chemicals.
Well, not only that.
I think his brain is just
he's
fried.
Consumed too much internet. He's consumed too much everything. You know,
Mountain Dew.
Too much Mountain Dew.
He probably
Dew.
Just pisses Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah.
That's just
it. Oh,
just
can you imagine how
Mountain
his
Dew.
Piss glows?
Yeah, it probably
it's
does underneath the black light.
Yeah, yeah.
Without
oh,
the
I think
black
it glows
light.
Without a black
yeah.
light. Yeah. All right, so they Nancy and Joseph follow him. They walk into
he
the
break. He probably pisses like neutrons or something.
They walk into the break room. All these people are in there eating. He goes, people, we have a small insect situation. Please remain. Oh, Veronica, you're fired. Calm and enjoy your lunch. Just like Veronica, you're fired. and then we see roaches just start pouring out of the air vents.
Yeah.
People are running and screaming and freaking out.
Now it's getting gross.
He goes, remain calm, yeah. everyone. I am their mother. Line up single file and get back in the tank. He's talking to the roaches.
I am their mother.
The roaches come over. They start crawling on him. They're crawling everywhere. I just wrote down the word swarm. He goes, ah, they're not recognizing me as their maternal influence. The project has gone horribly awry. Quick, Joseph, get me some real poison. But, Dad, you're not supposed to inhale any more poison. Damn it! Why are there so many ways to kill people but only one way to kill bugs? He says, hold that thought. And then he grabs a letter opener. What do you call those things that you stick, like, done bills on your desk? You know, the little spike? That you just it's like a letter spike, I
they
guess,
do it
right?
in some stores for receipts and stuff, too.
Yeah,
yeah
they used
yeah,
to.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the correct term for
I don't know what it
is
either. Maybe somebody out there does.
Let's see if I can find it out.
But he grabs one of those out of this box from a guy that he's obviously fired. The guy has his box full of stuff with him. He starts stabbing him. And then he throws out post-it notes for the roaches to stick to, kind of like those sticky traps. Then he grabs a letter opener. He throws it like a knife and gets a roach with it. Then he takes off his jacket. He grabs a rubber stamp, and he starts bam, 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 just stamping these roaches with the word canceled all over the wall.
I got you a name.
Yeah, what's up?
It's called a receipt spindle. Arthur just told me in chat, but I found it before
receipt
I noticed
spindle.
Arthur saying it.
Now, see, a spindle.
It's called a receipt spindle, yeah.
A receipt spindle seems to me like one of those things that you see like in a diner yeah. where they put the checks on and they spin them around.
Well, another name for it, too, is also a cash register receipt spike or
okay,
receipt spike paperweight. Now, I don't know why that was so hard to say. A receipt. I'm not even trying to say it anymore. But apparently, you could buy one for $15.95. A vintage Thorness vintage cast iron.
What a deal.
Cash register receipt
only
spike paperweight.
$15.99 to hurt yourself.
I think somebody should try to say that five times fast. Iron cast register receipt spike paperweight. There you go.
Yeah, no thanks.
That's a mouthful. So you know, that's crazy. All the names for stuff, if you look at like what names for things we call them now, like the names they were trying to market
either,
them underneath back then was crazy. Before
either,
marketing was narrowed down, you know.
It's either the actual name of a thing or it's something in Latin. You know,
yeah, well, that's
–
like a clothes washer was like a fabric – water tumbler, you know, something like that. They always have some weird long names.
Escalator is a brand.
Yeah.
It's actually called a moving staircase.
A moving staircase.
Yeah, just like Kleenex is facial tissue.
Yeah.
Just like Xerox is a copier. You know, but they're all brands
they're
that
all
they came
brands.
From. Yeah. All right, so he's canceling these roaches all over the wall. More of them start pouring through the vents. He takes off his tie, he wraps it around his hand. He grabs Nancy, dips her, kisses her real deep. Takes off the air vent and starts crawling in. He is just crawling through this thing, killing these bugs as he goes. He goes,
it's like Vietnam for cockroaches right now.
Oh, yeah. He goes, turbine, and just starts spinning in there just to crush them in the vent. And then he drops through the ceiling. He jumps up. He's got roach guts all over him, and he goes, shasha, the roaches are dead. Please return to your lunch. You look around, the place is a complete disaster. right? I mean,
yeah, it's tough. There's these big, huge, gigantic, and you know the thing is
squashed them.
They're
all
probably
everywhere.
Actually really clean. Those pet roaches, maybe. They're probably pretty
not
clean.
Not anymore. Joseph goes, "Wow, you killed them all. You didn't even use poison." He goes, "Yeah, I did, and I didn't, did I? I don't need that toxic crutch. All I need is Dale Gribble, the exterminator.
The exterminator."
He goes, "Pittman, firing people can give you a pretty good buzz, but it's a poor, poor substitute for killing. Well, I realize that now."
Killing machine. Yeah, Dale Gribble, the killing machine.
Pittman goes, "Dale, please, you were the best human resources manager Stick Tech ever had. And I'm going to go all the way back to when we were Stick Co." He says, "Sorry, Miss Pittman, I got some love to give." He rubs Joseph's head, and he goes, "And some love to make." And he kisses Nancy. She goes, "Mr. Gribble," and hands back his hat, his glasses, and his cigarettes.
Yep.
He goes, "Good news, Joseph. You can have your suit back." And they all just walk off into the sunset. Yep. And that's it. Credits. Now, after that, we do hear, maybe this will help. You know, the little dance.
Yeah, the little dance thing that
bed.
He did. Yeah. That's a good episode.
It was a good episode.
That one's funny.
And
it's really
know,
aggressive.
This episode, you could place anywhere. Like, this is an evergreen
well,
episode.
Well, see, remember, we're in the span of episodes now where they're doing, you know, they're kind of not.
Oh, yeah.
Greg Daniels and Mike Judge are kind of, you know, hands off a little bit. That's why they didn't like some of the stuff that was going on. Well, not necessarily not liked, but it wasn't really with the vision of.
Well, I think this is when Johnny came in and did a lot of the writing and stuff, right?
Not just Johnny. There's a bunch of people writing. I think that that's why the production order is probably so wonky for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Really. Really, because like well, I said, when you go to season six, you've got. Third episode of season six is 5ABE13.
Yeah.
And that's a season five episode. Then you go to episode 10 of season six, and that's 5ABE21. So, like, the production order is just all over the place.
So this is 14. What do we got, like eight more this
season? We have 6 more, Mike.
6 more. So there's only 20 in this episode, in this season.
There's 20 in this one. And it'll finish off with Kidney Boy and Hamster Girl, a love story.
Oh, very nice.
That is the final episode.
Hey,
of
guys,
four.
We really appreciate all of you being here.
Yeah, we do appreciate
you. If
you
can and you haven't done it yet, please go over to Patreon and check us out.
Yeah, please do.
A little $3 thing where you can help support and help keep the lights on for us. Yep. We would really, really appreciate it. Also, letting you know, these Monday episodes, they are available as video within the Spotify app.
Within the Spotify app.
Also available on YouTube.
Also available on YouTube at youtube.com/@BWAAAKOTH. Don't forget the at symbol. I don't know why YouTube did that because it's such a weird place to have the at symbol.
I think it's because it's like everybody else.
Go ahead and add that in there. Also, we're streaming live on Instagram. I'm trying to keep up with that and do that. We're doing the
InstaLive.
We're doing the Instagram lives. It only lets me run for an hour on it, so there might be like a little blip hiccup while we're doing it, depending on how long the episode runs. I'm also going to do it for the Friday episode, too. We're just going to stream the whole time that we're recording. And come hang out with us. And I appreciate everybody that's hanging out with us right now. We've got Sean. I am Chantel. We've got Bobby Wasabi.
Bobby.
We got Artie, of course.
Artie.
Bye Vibes. Let's see. Anybody else? I don't want to leave anybody out.
Slapping
Sam
McDoodles.
Bro.
Sam.
Chief Barbie. That's Chief. Jordan. Justin's Castro. My name with NOLS, whatever that is. But yeah, appreciate everybody. Hanging out.
Yeah,
with
thank
us.
You very much, guys. Yeah. We really appreciate all of you being here. Tell them where else they can find us.
You can find us at BWAAAKOTH.com, or you can find us on YouTube.com/@BWAAAKOTH, or you could find us at RogueMediaNetwork.com/BWAAAKOTH. And I would like for you to send us an email, please. And, on the for the email, what I want from everybody is give us your favorite
Road
episode
recipe.
Of ours. Oh. You give us your favorite episode that we've covered.
Yeah, that's not bad. I like that.
And I'll read out people's whatever y'all's emails. We'll read them all. So the more people that send them in, the more people that we'll recognize and read. So I'm just trying to do some call to action too.
That's
for
wonderful,
you guys.
I love it. I'd love to hear from folks. Well, thank you guys for joining us. We really appreciate it. It's been a great Monday. We'll be back again next week with episode 15. And if you want to, we'll be around here on Friday as well. We're going to go over where we left all the characters when the show ended. So we'll see you again next time.
And in the famous words of Dr. Phil, we'll be right back.
We matanye. Indeed.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.